This is Money Every Month with Robin Roberts of Pikes Peak National Bank and Tim Lee of Hoff and Lee. Robin and Tim will help you find and fund assets to build personal wealth. Now, here's Robin and Tim.
This is episode 8 of Money Every Month. This is the show where we help you find and fund assets to build personal wealth. I'm Robin Roberts with Pikes Peak National Bank, here with my co-host Tim Lee with Hoff and Lee Commercial Real Estate. And today we are going to talk about how to choose a commercial lender. In episode 5, we talked about how you should choose a commercial real estate broker. And today we're going to take that just one step further and talk about how you choose a commercial lender, because they are not all the same, although they are all selling money at different prices and under different terms.
Easiest way to choose commercial real estate lender is to find the lady with the prettiest red dress.
You better keep going on that.
Well, you know, they're all sales ladies, salesmen, whatever. And, you know, you just got to find the one with the nicest looking red dress. I mean, their profession is the oldest profession, right? Sales.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Commercial lenders are salespeople.
And that, I kind of joke about that, but it's really important to make that distinction because, you know, again, our audience, most people that we talk to and deal with, they don't realize that, you know, bankers have a job. Their job is to sell loans. That's how a bank mostly makes their money. Not totally, but that's the big part of it. And so, you know, these guys that are like the vice presidents or even the presidents or whatever, they get those titles based on their productive capacity in terms of selling loans, right? So if you can sell a lot of loans, you get pushed up the food chain. And so it's sales to sales. And so they put on a red dress and go out and, you know, like no worse or better than I am. On Monday morning, I get out my prettiest red dress and I get out and I start selling stuff, right? And so that's, you know, first thing, you got to find somebody that can actually, you know, do the job.
Right. And commercial lenders, I mean, we can talk about that as a commercial lender being an individual who is an individual lender working for a bank or another kind of lending institution, or a commercial lender is the bank itself doing commercial loans. And really, when you're choosing a commercial lender, you're working with the person, the commercial lender, the individual, but that individual is tied by what the commercial lender institution's policies are and the kinds of properties that they will accept and they won't accept and what they need in order for you to close. And so you're really dealing with two separate things, but when it really comes down to it, you're dealing with the people.
Right. It's so like person. From my perspective as a buyer or a broker advising people to buy, you know, it's really critical for people like me to have a good understanding what different lending programs are and who is able to deliver on those different lending programs, because you try and find different lending programs that are appropriate to each transaction. And so a lot of times we'll run across somebody who says, you know, I want to go buy, you know, X building. And let's say it's a $1 million building, just for example. Well, there are certain lenders in our market, and they are in every market because it's the same everywhere, that specialize in, you know, lending money at the $1 million price range. There are some that are specialists at doing $250,000, and there are some that are $5 million lenders and $25 million lenders and all that kind of stuff. And so sometimes what we'll find is somebody who wants to, you know, buy a deal for $1 million, but he's dealing with a lender that does $25 million loans. And so it's just a disconnection. And so one of the first things I think you'd want to, you know, be able to identify is what is the bandwidth of the bank and the bandwidth of the lender at the bank in terms of, you know, what do they do? And it's like we talk about how do you find a broker? You want to get a broker that's experienced, you know, doing transactions in that bandwidth where you're looking to do a transaction. So you wouldn't want to talk to a person who sells residential real estate, for example, to, you know, help you buy a commercial building. It's two separate things. It's got to be the same with commercial lending.
Right. I mean, my first takeaway on this is, first of all, can you talk to someone at the place that you want to? So I always ask people who talk to me about commercial lending, well, where do you bank? Because if you're a business, you already have a business bank account. So that institution knows you. They know kind of your
well,
cash
they may
cycle.
Know you. It
It depends. I mean, if you're dealing with one of the big five banks, they don't know you.
Right.
I mean, unless you're, they don't know you.
Right. let's just make a pitch for local banks for a second. Because if you've got deposit accounts at Wells, we see this all the time. And so somebody wants to go in and get an SBA loan or just get a commercial loan through Wells, I always just shake my head and say good luck with that, because Wells is great on promise and not great on delivery, because it's not really what they do. They like to, Wells would be one of those ones with a $25 million loan.
Yes.
They don't want to loan $1 million to Joe Schlump, you know, who's got a, you know, car shop.
Well, I always point out, I mean, the big five banks, they make loans to foreign countries.
Right.
So if you're a small mom and pop on Main Street or a foreign country, I wonder which one's going to take priority. So where are you going to fall in the priority of that financial institution or those lenders? Probably not very high. I mean, and we just saw that with the PPP program, the Paycheck Protection Program, these small businesses that banked with these large banks.
They call that the Cantillon effect. It's where the people closest to the money get the money.
Exactly. And they didn't get
exactly
theirs.
How it
they
works.
Had to go find another lender or wait and hope that the money didn't run out. So,
right.
So can you talk to someone at your bank? Can you talk to a lender?
Isn't that stupid that you have to even raise that as a point, that you, because we become so disconnected? You know, it's like I was working on a residential loan, which I've decided not to take. But in order to get it, I had to go on the internet and try and figure all this stuff out. And because, you know, I guess people do it all the time. But I thought, you know, if I can't talk to somebody, I'm just not going to do business with them. Because I'm old school. I want to have a relationship with the person that I do business with.
Well, and when you're talking about commercial lending, this isn't like something that's just done on your credit score, like a consumer loan. Like there needs to be a conversation. What are the terms? What are my requirements? How fast can it close? I'm under contract. I have these deadlines. Can you meet these deadlines? Do I have to have an environmental done? Do I have to have an appraisal done? There are so many questions. And if you've never borrowed commercially before, you need someone to kind of walk you through how the process works, what the expectations are, what your timeline expectations are. As you know, I volunteer at the Small Business Development Center. I have for 11 years, and I get clients all the time who say, I can't get a hold of anyone at the bank. They won't return my phone calls. They sent me to a 1-800 number. Well, I can tell you, someone on a 1-800 number is not going to sit there and spend a half an hour to 45 minutes with you explaining the commercial lending process.
And we see that, you know, on the brokerage side. So if somebody comes and wants to buy a building, you know, I've done enough of these that, you know, I say, okay, get 3 years personal, 3 years business tax returns, take them over to the lender, and they're going to tell you, you know, if you're dealing with the right lender pretty quickly, if you're going to be able to qualify for the loan. But when we write the sale contract to buy the property on behalf of a client, you know, you have to kind of know that process so you know what kind of timing to put in the contract. And there's so many brokers out there that don't know that. And so they write these contracts with extraordinarily long timelines because they don't understand how, you know, what the legitimate timing is to do a commercial transaction and from the lending perspective. So I think not only do you have to be able to talk to the lender, but you have to kind of, you know, if you don't have the knowledge, you have to get the knowledge to understand that process from start to finish so you can, as you said rightly, set a real standard for expectations. One of my favorite sayings, you're probably sick of me saying it, but if you don't have good expectations, you could end up being sad and lonely when the deal passes you and you didn't get it.
Well, yeah, I mean, if the lender cannot get you to the closing table, or the lender misses deadlines, so now you have not met your contract and can be out of contract, given the current market, even in commercial real estate, there are probably some backup offers there.
Oh, all the time.
And now you're very sad and lonely because that opportunity has passed you by. Someone else has now gotten it. The seller probably got more money with the backup offer. And so you just don't, and you can blame your lender for that.
Yeah, well, you blame your lender and then you sue your broker. So it's like a never-ending bag of kettlefish.
And you still don't have the property, so
right.
You start
just
back at square one.
Yeah.
So you've got to be able to talk to a lender who understands business. People don't understand that banks have commercial sides and retail sides, and a lot of employees start in the retail side. Retail meaning consumer, personal, you know, car loans, personal mortgages, HELOCs, your personal bank account. They start on that side, and then as they've been in the bank for a while, they start learning the business side.
And what's kind of interesting, because when you just say like retail versus commercial and all that stuff, there's no financial education in this country. So it's not unbelievable that people that come to buy a commercial building have no clue because they don't have the training. I mean, they don't teach you in high school how to manage a checking account or right. or how money is created even, you know, where money comes from. And the average person just thinks, oh, you know, money, I go get a job, I get money, you know. They don't know that money doesn't start until there's a loan made, right? I mean, that's kind of deep for this audience today, but you know, people just don't understand. And so when you talk about, you know, learning this process and the process of getting a commercial loan, it's not like a negative that you don't know.
No, that's what we're here for.
Right.
You know, we're here to help you make more money every month, but we're also here to educate you on this, on the process of
right, because there's no education.
Exactly.
Right.
And we answer these questions. I mean, I answer these questions 10 times a week for sure. And there's definitely a need for it. But people do start in banks on the retail side, and then they learn the business side. They learn what an LLC is. They learn an S-Corp. They understand commercial lending regulations, which are different than consumer lending regulations. And so they kind of move their way through. They understand how to look at a commercial tax return and figure out what your cash flow is. And that takes some time. So if you just walk into a big five bank and say, hey, I want to talk to someone about a commercial loan, you're probably going to sit in front of someone on the retail side who is then going to refer you to someone on the commercial side.
And you're probably going to sit in the lobby where everybody's watching
time.
You.
Yeah. You're wasting time.
Yep.
You want to call someone who is a commercial lender. And if you're wanting an SBA loan, then talk to the SBA lender because you want to deal with someone who understands that program. So just call. I want an appointment. You want to be able to come in and sit and talk with them. If the lender is not willing to spend 45 minutes with you, then they don't want your business. So go somewhere else, somewhere where they are going to value the opportunity for your business. They should be thanking you for that opportunity, not just taking it for granted.
And I think that from a consumer's perspective, I think that what you just said is really important in terms of working with a lender that will be appreciative of the opportunity to help you. And I think that a lot of people are intimidated by banks and by lenders. And I always tell everybody, you know, if you get a loan and if things go bad like they did in 08 in the great financial crisis, for example, you know, certainly banks can foreclose and come and take your property. But most of the time, you know, banks, as you mentioned, you have a banker on the other side. So it's a person. You have an institution, you know, get that. But most of the time they're going to negotiate with you because at the end of the day, they really don't want your asset back.
No,
they want
don't.
To keep you in business and help you along if you have that kind of a bank. And I think what's really important or interesting is that now times are pretty easy. And there's a great saying is about, you know, digging your well before you need the water. As I got that from Harvey McKay, who wrote a book, How to, you know, Eat Sharks and Stay Alive or something. I forget what it was, but it's a sales book in the 1980s. But I never really understood that expression for years. I kept thinking, what does that mean? But, you know, dig your well before you need the water. I mean, it's pretty obvious, right? So go and get your team together, work with people that you can trust. And so that, you know, because the markets don't always go up. And so you want to have a banker, the well and the water, you want to have that banker. So if you know, things get bad, there's a drought, they're going to be there to help you get through that rough patch. And so it's really critical to not just shop the lowest rate, because in good times, you're going to see everybody competing for rate. And rate is probably, at the end of the day, the least important. It's the wrong question always to ask. It's the least important element of the loan. It's like, what are you going to do when the proverbial fit hits the shan, right? That's what I want to know. How are you going to treat me? And I've been through that war with a lender on a couple of buildings I owned back in the day, where, you know, we buy property, pay it down, and pay it off, as you know, and then we accrue cash in the operating accounts of our properties individually. And so when the great financial crisis came in 08, we got the love note from the bank and said, you need to come down and pay your loans off because you're in default on your loans. And I said, well, wait a minute, I'm not in default. I've never missed a payment. And each of those buildings' operating account, has more than $100,000 in, so there's no risk at all to either of these loans. And so it was actually pretty funny. I ultimately sold one of the buildings, kept the other one, and about 6 months later, I suppose, or whatever, when things settled down a little bit, I actually went down to the bank and met with the bank president. I said, you know that one building that you want to foreclose on that I've been making the payments? I said, I'll tell you what I'll do, and this is kind of one of the things we teach people. It's pretty interesting, I think funny. Is I said, I'll buy that loan back from you. I have enough money in my wallet. I'm just going to come in and give you, Mr. Bank, all the money I have, and I'm going to buy that loan from you. But if I do, I want to buy it at a discount because you're going to sell it to somebody else at a discount because you said I was a lowlife, except you haven't sold it yet and I've never missed a payment and I have money in the bank. So I'm just going to be that guy. I'll come in and buy it. He goes, no, we're not going to do that. You're one of our best borrowers. I said, well, you know, 6 months ago, I had horribly bad breath. I said, what's changed, right? Nothing's changed. And so, and that goes back to you have to have a good banking partner who isn't going to pull that monkey business on you.
Well, if they are going to pull it on you, or at least they want to go down that road, usually because regulatory-wise they have to.
Right.
I mean, it's a whole other show that with commercial lending, you can be in default even when you're making your payments on time.
Well, that's what it was.
So many people do not understand this, and many bankers do not understand that there are covenants in your loan. You could be making your payments. You could be keeping your property taxes current. You can keep your insurance current. But maybe your debt service coverage changed.
That's what they got.
Or you borrowed too much money without telling the bank and you violated a covenant. You are technically in default on that loan. We could do a whole show on that. I would love to do it because people don't understand. But the point that you're making is one of my points, which is to think long term when you're choosing your lender. What is happening today, the economic circumstances today, the value of the property today, your personal financial situation today is going to change. Hopefully it gets better, but that's not always the case. Things go up, things go down, and in 3-4 years, you get a divorce, you become disabled, someone dies.
I mean, God, just like horrible life.
Well, I mean, it's reality. Things change.
I always tell my kids, grandkids, nothing worse than being dumb. You got to get a good education. And they say, oh yeah, and this like poor little 10-year-old, I'm poisoning their mind. I said, well, you know, yeah, there's probably something worse than that. You could be like unattractive. So worse than being dumb and unattractive, right? And they go, oh, you know, it's horrible. And then, you know, it just gets worse from there. It's a slippery slope, you know, and pretty soon you're broke and you're dumb and you're unattractive and handicapped and you got all. So, you know, but you never know. Things might get better.
Things could get better.
You're at the nadir. Things could only go one way.
But when you're talking about a lender, you need to be able to go and talk to that lender and say, hey, I lost my biggest customer. Hey, I'm getting a divorce. Hey,
call it the 4 D's, death, divorce, disaster, destruction.
You exactly.
Know, that's what happened. It's called life.
It's called life. And so if you got the best rate today and you did it with a lender who's not in this state, in the state in which you live or even where the property is, you did it really, you know, some slick way, and you did all this stuff and you were able to get this really great rate and that's all you cared about. And now 3 years from now, something has completely changed. So who are you going to talk to?
Well, so let me just tell you, because it's pretty interesting, because I love talking about Der Schlickmeister, right? That's the guy. And so I had a loan that I got on a building that I still own back in the day, and it was with Bank of Colorado, who I highly recommend. It's a great bank. And they had an employee who was, you know, basically in the open area outside the vice president who I dealt with's office. The employee went to Brand X Bank, and he knew I just got this loan. I mean, I just literally just got the loan. I don't even know if I've made 1 or 2 payments on it. He calls me up and he goes, hey, I'm the new big dog over at Brand X Bank. And I know you just got a loan over at the other bank. If you bring your loan over to my bank, I'll give you a better loan deal. And I won't charge anything for it. And I thought, well, I don't care. You know, it's kind of a free deal. And so we moved. And I kind of felt bad about it, except the loan officer I was dealing with, I knew was retiring, so it was going to be no skin off his nose. But, you know, it's how you got, I mean, how the process of getting a loan. The guy absolutely was wearing a red dress, and he was named Der Schlickmeister. And, you know, and I thought, you know, I'm going to be a compliant go along because it's going to save me thousands of dollars. Why wouldn't I do that? You know, I don't know about the ethics of, you know, the new deal calling up the old deal and stealing customers, right? I don't think that's too cool.
Right.
But, you know, ultimately it was a short-lived relationship because Der Schlickmeister on one point proved to be Der Schlickmeister on other points. And so, you know, we probably made a bad long-term decision and we've since righted the ship. But, you know, that's a lesson born from experience. And so the relationship, you know, we talk about this all the time. Every week we talk about this stuff. The relationship with the people you do business with, that's got to be number one. You know, it's like Stephen Covey Jr. Says in his book, Speed of Trust, you know, if you trust somebody, and I always say if you like and trust somebody, you get transactions done quickly. And if there is no trust relationship or if there's no relationship, it's process and it's slow. You're going to be lucky if it gets it done, and it's going to be agonizing and you know, just a horrible experience.
Well, and if it's agonizing when you're trying to get a loan and the bank is trying to give you money, it's going to be agonizing when something changes in your situation.
Right. So what's the worst? I mean, because you've been through the, you've been the president and CEO of Pikes Peak National Bank for, I mean, I think you were there when I was born. I mean, you've been there that long. I mean, and I'm as old as dirt, so me and dirt are the same deal. So you've been there a long time, but you were there during the GFC.
Yeah.
And I remember that because give me a horror story. What's like a worst case scenario, maybe where it went to the tank, but you were able to rectify it?
I love to tell this story. The customer absolutely hates me and the bank. But they should actually be thanking us. We had a customer who we did a loan for, and then the financial crisis hit, and their financials were terrible. And they were making their payments, but their financials looked like they could not. And people forget that banks are regulated by the Treasury Department, basically. And the Treasury Department also includes the IRS. And so we're asking you for tax returns. Our regulators look at your tax returns as well when they do exams. And the regulators are like, you need to do something with this loan. And we could have, and we shouldn't have, but we were feeling pressure to foreclose on this borrower. And they were making their payments, but they were in default. And we didn't foreclose. We decided, no, we're going to suck it up and move along with this customer. And the bank had to do all kinds of accounting things that penalized us. And it hurt our earnings for a really long time. 10 years we carried that loan. 10 years. Every time that borrower asked us to do something, we couldn't do it. Nope. Nope. We can't do it. Nope. They hated us. Absolutely hated us. Economy turns around. We did not foreclose. If we had foreclosed, they would have lost everything, and the bank would have taken a loss when we sold their property. The economy turns around. We carry them, basically. They are able to sell their property, pay off our note. We got every bit of what was owed to us, but it took us 10 years to get it. And they walked away and made $600,000.
Oh, geez.
Moved away, happy as can be. But that would not have happened if the bank didn't make the decision, hey, we're not going to foreclose.
And you guys, Pikes Peak National Bank is a community bank.
We're a community bank, and we have...
And you're oriented toward community.
Yeah,
that's
we
why
didn't
it's
want to take
name.
Their
yeah,
property. Right. We certainly didn't want to take the loss on the real estate, but it was painful. And they hated us. They didn't understand. Borrowers don't understand why. And, you know, that's just part of the deal. But they were always able to talk to us. They always could come in and talk to someone who understood their loan, knew their loan. And so when I say you need to think long term, can you talk to somebody when you need to change a covenant, when you need to release a borrower, when you just switch out collateral? Like, all of this stuff happens. And if you can't get a hold of someone, if you can't even get someone to return your phone call when you're trying to get money, you're definitely not going to get someone to return your phone call when you have a problem. So it's something to think about. And then finally, make sure you're dealing with banks that do what you need for your business. If you're a car dealer, you need to work with a bank that works with car dealers. Banks are businesses. We have expertise in different things. Some banks are really good with construction and land development deals. Some banks are really great with car dealers and inventory financing lines. A lot of banks are great with commercial real estate. Some banks do a lot of SBA lending or only SBA lending. So if you're looking for SBA loans, you want to work with a bank that knows those. I mean, it's a government program. It changes all the time. So a lender who's dealing with SBA knows SBA. I always say, ask your commercial real estate broker who they deal with. Ask your friends who are business owners who they deal with, who they get loans from. Ask your lawyer or accountant who they like to deal with. And they'll also tell you, and don't deal with this person or stay away from this person. You should listen to them, because these are people who are out in the community working with lenders all the
time.
And
so we talk about all that all the time, is getting your team together, and especially for young folks. You know, and I remember when I was just like knee-high to a grasshopper trying to get going, and you know, I had somebody tell me, you know, you need a team. And so, and I said, well, I don't even know what that means, right? So, but you need to get a lawyer, a CPA, and a banker. You know, that's the basics. You probably need more than that. You probably need a physician. I don't know. But, you know, you start out with the lawyer, the banker, and the CPA. And so that's probably, you know, that's a good start for a lot of jokes, right? A lawyer, a banker, and a CPA, we're going on a car ride. I mean, I figure out your own punchline. But it's really critical because, especially if you're a young guy or your business is new or whatever, because those people will help you grow your business because they'll give you advice. And so it's like, you know, buying mentorship. And why not take advantage of somebody with gray hair who has lived through a few wars and can say, you know, I don't know about you, but given your circumstances, if I were in your shoes and given what I know, I probably would do X, you know, so here's something to think about. And so the banker is such a critical part of that. You and I have talked about this before. When I started my career as a sales guy, I didn't even know about, you know, just like banks. I mean, I thought it was crazy that you could go get a card and buy stuff on a credit card. And I mean, how would you go in debt to, you know, buy your stuff, right? It was so counterintuitive the way I was brought up. And you know, of course, this is like, you know, 40 years ago. So back then, I guess, hey, back in the day, you know, but it's just weird. Now everybody deals in credit and lending, and that's the way of the world. So it's not like I think I'm going to save money and go buy a car. I think I'm going to go buy a car and pay payments for 84 months, which is ridiculous to me in my generation, but that's how things get done. And again, it just points out how important it is for a bank. I know that I have a relationship with a lender that I know that if I call and I say, you know what, I need $1 million by Friday, there's a good chance I'm going to get $1 million by Friday. But that's because the lender knows me, knows my financial situation, and it's already kind of pre-done, right? And so without that kind of a relationship, an entrepreneur can miss out on a lot of opportunities. And so again, it's back to relationship, like trust.
Yes. So just to tie everything up, can you talk to somebody at that with that lender? Think long term, what's going to happen if things change, not just for this particular loan? And then does that lender do what you need for your business? I think those three things. And then we have some supporters of the show I think we should talk about.
We have a couple of folks who have supported our show from the very beginning. We love them. Norwest Auto, Jennifer Payne and her son Jacob, they have the car dealership. I think it's at 330 South or North Circle Drive, I'm sorry. It's probably North Circle, because Pikes Peak is the street, right? It's just north of Pikes Peak, yep. Yeah. So anyway, she sells cars, he sells cars, they do a great job. They're all used cars, they can finance anybody. They're just friends of ours. They said, you know what, we want to support your podcast and support your radio show, so they're alongside of us. And a friend of mine who's in the roofing business, Chris Werner, he has a company called Werner Restoration. Look, I've used every commercial roofer in town. I use a lot of them all over the place. Chris put the roof on my house. Okay, so here's just a heads up for you. If I trusted him to put the roof on my house, good chance you can trust him to put the roof on your house. That's all I need to say. But he's a good guy, got a good business, and both sponsors are honest as the day is long, which is what we talk about, the relationship. And, you know, give him a call, tell him we said. You have to get him on the internet. So it's Norwest Auto, and it's Werner Restoration. I don't know how else to contact him except go figure it out. Which is a horrible way to do an ad, right?
And we'd love for you to contact us, too, and give us some ideas of... first of all, we'd love feedback about the show. And are there things that you want us to talk about that would be helpful? We'd love to hear that,
call
too.
Call Robin at Pikes Peak National Bank. Say your phone number, for crying out loud.
719-473-5311.
And what's your, website?
PPNB.com.
Yeah, people will remember PPNB.com. And then they can get a hold of me at just tim@timlee.com or tim@hoffley.com. You're never going to remember the number, but I'll give it to you anyway. It's 337-9551. But give us a call. We love to continue the conversation.
All right. Well, that does it for episode 8 on choosing a commercial lender. And thank you for listening.
This has been Money Every Month with Robin Roberts and Tim Lee. Join us weekly for more invaluable insight into the world of commercial real estate. And be sure to listen to the companion podcast on Podbean,